This is KVNF's regional newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, Scott Franz looks at the wolf reintroduction proposition on this year's ballot. Plus, Luke Runyon reports on the impacts of climate change for the Colorado River's reservoirs. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
Delta County is reporting two new COVID-19 outbreak sites at the Delta Walmart Pharmacy and the Delta Building Center. An outbreak is defined as two or more positive cases in the same location during a 14-day period. The Montrose County School District also reports that a person in a Montrose High School cohort has tested positive for COVID-19. 61 students and four staff members are quarantined through September 25th, reports the Montrose Daily Press. A long-awaited affordable housing project in Ridgeway will break ground this spring, reports the Ouray Plain Dealer. The space to create apartment buildings should be ready for occupancy in early 2022. The nearly $10 million project will have 30 apartments and about 2,000 square feet of community space. Residents will not be required to have an artistic career or hobby. The westbound deck of Interstate 70 in Glenwood Canyon is reopening on Friday, September 25th, according to the Colorado Department of Transportation. Motorists should expect continued lane closures throughout the canyon, but the head-to-head detour will end. Last month, the highway project faced yet another challenge when the Grizzly Creek fire in the canyon caused a two-week closure of I-70. The snowcat at the bottom of Grand Mesa's Island Lake has finally been removed, reports the Grand Junction Sentinel. The machine broke through the ice in February 2019, resulting in the deaths of its two occupants. A group of volunteer divers called Adventures with Purpose attempted to recover the snowcat in June, but failed after several tries. The team returned with larger lift bags and on September 22nd at last succeeded in getting the machine out of the water. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
The Colorado River's largest reservoirs are expected to keep struggling over the next 5 years due to climate change. Luke Runyon has more.
The Colorado River is entering its 21st year of sustained dry conditions. The watershed is also rapidly warming. And that, combined with cities, farmers, and industries relying heavily on its water, has left Lakes Powell and Mead extremely low. The Bureau of Reclamation oversees the West's water infrastructure, and its commissioner, Brenda Berman, says it's likely the reservoirs will drop even further by 2026.
There is uncertainty and risk on the horizon. The policy decisions we're making have been made to address that risk.
Berman says her agency's model shows an increasing likelihood of an official shortage being declared on the Southwestern River after this year's dismal runoff. Flows into Lake Powell this summer were about half of what they are in an average year. I'm Luke Runyon.
Gray wolves were eradicated from Colorado's western slope 80 years ago with the help of $20 bounties. Ranchers and early settlers viewed the predators as a threat, and the last one was killed in Conejos County in 1943. This November, voters will decide whether to bring them back. To see what that could look like, Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz takes us to a place where wolves have already made a comeback.
You may have already heard some of the howls coming from the debate over whether to bring gray wolves back to Colorado. But if not, here's a quick recap. Longtime wolf advocate Rob Edward says they belong here. The Louisville resident heads up the Rocky Mountain Wolf Action Fund, which got the issue on the ballot.
We know from decades of science now that gray wolves are the engine of ecological health and evolution in the systems that they have been part of for millennia. And because they were systematically eradicated during the early 1900s on behalf of a particular interest group, we've seen the ecological consequences of not having wolves.
But one pack of wolves has already been confirmed to be living in northwest Colorado, and opponents like Marsha Dockenbaugh are fearful of adding even more to the woods outside their cow pastures near Steamboat Springs.
I think we will see some hard times once wolves make a real stand here in northwest Colorado. And if we want to return to a balance, then we also need to get rid of a lot of condos and airports and golf courses and a lot of other things that are man-made before we tackle bringing in more predators.
But let's leave the debate in Colorado for now and go to Lander, Wyoming, where residents like Dan Thompson have seen what it's like to have wolves thrive in the wild. Our conversation got a late start because of an unexpected visitor to his home on the Wind River Range.
I live outside of town, so I don't get many knocks at the door, and it was one of my neighbors, and she said, "Something's killing my ducks. You got to come look at it." I mean, they all know I work for Game and Fish.
Thompson is the big carnivore supervisor for the state, meaning he helps manage grizzly bear and wolf populations. But this time, neither of those predators are the culprit.
A great horned owl had killed two of their ducks and ate their heads off.
But other times, wolves, which were reintroduced into the Yellowstone area 25 years ago, are to blame. They killed 42 cattle and 27 sheep last year, along with one donkey and a dog. In 2017, wildlife managers killed more than 100 wolves involved in 243 livestock deaths. But they have been able to lower the numbers recently.
We've done some unique things with like those big rubber inflatable blow-up men, like that you see at used car dealer lots, like put them out in a pasture to kind of scare away elk and wolves, actually.
He says managing wolves is very different from the other species already in Colorado, like bears and moose. Wolves are harder to capture and more effective at killing other animals. They've also proven to be more polarizing.
A lot of people think that wolves can do no wrong, and a lot of people think that they should be wiped clean from the face of the earth, and so we're honestly going for somewhere in the middle.
The state of Wyoming spent almost $2 million last year managing an estimated 311 wolves. The wolf population is so strong in some areas, the state is allowing them to be hunted, and ranchers can kill them to protect their livestock in 85% of the state. Back in Colorado, Rob Edwards says the fear of livestock being killed should not keep them out.
In counties where wolves and livestock share common ground in the Northern Rockies, 99.95% of the cows and sheep there are never affected by wolves. So we're talking about a tiny fraction of the livestock on the ground.
But rancher Marcia Dockenbaugh isn't comforted by case studies in other states.
From reports that come out of Montana, Wyoming, it seems like it is a detriment to agriculture to have just one more predator to worry about. Now we are faced with bear and the coyotes, of course. Mountain lions are more common than they used to be. And so if we add just one more into the mix, what is that going to do to this need for more animals to be available for food for these predators?
Others have also spoken out against the effort, saying voters from more populated areas shouldn't decide an issue that mainly impacts rural residents. But proponents like Edward say there is nothing more democratic than taking the question to the ballot box. A yes vote on Proposition 114 would commit Colorado Parks and Wildlife to come up with a plan for wolf reintroduction by 2023. Officials estimate it would cost taxpayers more than $300,000 to start the planning process, with expenses increasing if wolves get here. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
That does it for KVNF's regional newscast. Thanks for listening.